Looks like somebody prayed.
If you would turn in your Bible to the book of Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I'm sweating. I don't know if it's like the hot versus the cold. It's like hallelujah, the AC. I just heard it kick on in Jesus' name. Psalm chapter 1. If you're there, go Pelicans because they did win one game in the last 1,200. So we believe and have faith that the Lord will move mightily. Psalm chapter 1, building your life on the foundation is our theme for the year. And the Lord, if you want to be blessed, we just sang the song, right? That we would want the blessing and the favor of the Lord to be upon us and to be upon the generations that come behind us this year. You're going to hear words like legacy. You're going to hear these words come into our sermon series. So we're excited, and we were sort of contemplating, Lord, how do you start a new year? We could start on everything, prayer and worship, all essentials, giving. I mean, give generously. All those things, being a part of a small group and even fasting. We want you to fast. Like, I've already started fasting. I'm a kind of person, like, if you tell me something, I want to overachieve. So I started January 1st. But we have started a 21-day fast starting today. And the Lord woke me up. I love when, like, God wakes me up at, like, 3 in the morning. This last night, and so I was sitting there, and the Lord said, I'd done some food things, like I've already like given up sugars and sodas and all these different things. I'm doing a fruit and vegetable with one. Anyway, I had it planned out, and the Lord said, and now do social media. I don't do social media. I don't really do Facebook. God said, give up Twitter. And so that's my thing. And so the Lord, so I just deleted the app last night at 3 in the morning. I think the Lord wants us to sanctify ourselves, not have things coming in from outside sources. And we want you to encourage you to do this for 21 days. Why? Because the Lord will speak to you. If you want the Lord to speak to you, if you want to know him better, if you want some movement in your life, the Lord says to pray, but then he also says to fast. Somebody say fast. And so we are called to do that together, and we're going to post that on media. We're going to be posting what we're fasting for today. We're fasting for our families and our children and our children's children. How amazing is it that Victor picks that song, The Blessing? God, we're praying for blessing over my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids. The legacy that you will have comes when you fast and when you pray. But this morning, we're going to start a series on the whole month of January on the Word of God. How to read the Word of God. We are reading through a Bible plan, a 365 days in a year. And by the end of this year, you have read completely through the Bible. Look at Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. It says this. It says, blessed. Somebody say blessed. If you're circling things, or if you have your notes out of the Church Center app, circle the word blessed, because a lot of times we want to be blessed. We want to sing the blessings of God. I think that was a generational song given to them right before COVID, that God says, here's a Deuteronomic blessing over the people that are going to face incredible things. But Bible says in chapter 1, Psalm chapter 1 in verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffer. So you see this man that was walking in sin, who now begins to sit still and stand in sin. And then he goes a little bit further, and now he just sits in the mess that he's made. God says, blessed is the man who walks not. Everybody says, walks not. In the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight, somebody say my delight, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. And on the law, the word of God, he meditates day and night. If you want to be blessed in 2025, I have no idea what the New Year's is going to bring. We said that last week, and look at what has already transpired in our world in the last couple of days. There are horrific things. I don't know what's going to happen in 2025, but here's what I do know is that the word of God is true this morning. And that if you want to be blessed, that you will not stand and sit and walk in the counsel of the wicked or the way of the sinners or in the seat of the scoffer. But if you want to be blessed in 2025, your delight will be in the word of God. Somebody say the word of God. I believe that God has called us to love the word of God. David writes all throughout Psalm chapter 119. I love the word of Lord. I meditate on it. It's like breath in my lungs. The Bible says, keep on reading in verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Why? Because he's meditating on the word of the Lord. His delight is in the word of the Lord. It says the wicked are not so, but are like chaff, and the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows that the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And the Lord holds them all in derision. So it means that God has this idea. And he's saying, you're blessed when you love the Lord. You're blessed when you love the word of the Lord. You're blessed when you dig in to the word of God. And if you do other things, that will separate you from what God has for you in 2025. So I encourage you to read the word of God, to build your firm foundation on the word of God. I have sent out text messages galore encouraging you to join the reading plan with us in this year. If you've not grabbed one, this is for you. It's a little booklet. It's a pamphlet. It's all the dates of everything coming up. Most of them are correct. I know a couple are wrong already. There's different things, but inside of this is a word of God plan. It's a 365-day-a-year plan, and you can grab a hold of one of these. In your bulletin this morning, there is as we are in January 5th, there's just a plan. We're already in the book of Job. You're going to ask me why we got in the book of Job. I'm going to let you know in a little bit. So we already have this. You can grab it on the YouVersion, the Bible app. And here's a couple questions until we get into the word of God. Which version of the Bible should I read? Now, there's a whole lot of thoughts. What if you're new to the Lord and you don't even, like, what is a version? There are different versions. There are different ways that the Bible is written, which came out of the Hebrew and the Greek. And then they were translated over years. Old English, King James English. My personal opinion, I just need you to read the Bible. You can read any version of the Bible you would like. Now, there are translations. And some people prefer readability. Like if I'm talking to a young person, I'm going to offer them the English Standard Version. Why? Because they need to learn. They just need to read the Bible. And sometimes King James will get you bogged down. But some people prefer precision. I think both are correct. And I think what we have in our seats this morning is the English Standard Version. It offers a good mix of both. It also offers precision, but it also offers readability. So if you're looking for a Bible this morning, I would say pick the English Standard Version. It's a word-for-word translation. So what that means is that when they took the Hebrew and they took the Greek, that they literally translated word-for-word into the English Standard Version. Now, there are other versions like the New Living or the NIV. Those are not word-for-word translations. Those are phrase-for-phrase translations. And so you're sort of getting the heart behind it, but you're not getting the actual words by words. Then there's like stuff like the Message. We're reading the Message right now with our kids in our house. We're reading through Luke. I love it. It's incredible. But it's not even really a translation. It's just an interpretation of what the word was from the Greek and the Hebrew. It's just a retelling of the story, if you would. So, which version of the Bible? My particular pick is the English Standard Version. Grab a hold of that. Number two, how and why read the whole Bible? You say, I've never read the whole Bible. I was inspired We go, we don't often go eat. Anybody likes ice cream? Like, you like ice cream, like, a whole lot? Like, I have a particular person in my family who loves ice cream. And, like, we went on a cruise when we were super, like, a couple years back. Clearly, the girl ate ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I think it was, like, her main food source. And so every now and then, we will go and eat ice cream. Like, we'll go to, like, Scarlet Scoop or Baskin Robbins or are there any others in town? I don't know. We don't often go, obviously. But here's the thing. When we go to eat ice cream as a family, first of all, we know it's going to cost us a lot of money because ain't nothing cheap anymore. And so we head out with our family, and we always would go in, like, Baskin Robbins, right? They're like 31 different flavors. And you look over them all, and you start looking, and there's, like, pecan praline with caramel. And then there's, like, you know, that somebody's like, that's me. And sugar, like, if it's king cake season, then there's, like, king cake flavor. There's strawberries with ice cream. I mean, every place has its own different thing. But here's what I've noticed about my family. My proclivity, what I tend to do, is I will look over all 31 of those wonderful assortments of ice cream or however many they have. And typically, 90% of the time, I'm going to go back to my favorite, which is mint chocolate chip. Can I get an amen and a hallelujah? Thank you. So, thank you, all the people. It doesn't matter what I've looked over. I'm looking at for the mint chocolate chip. And every time after I have looked at everything else on the menu, I just go back to my favorite. My husband's sort of the same way. Typically, he'll look over everything, and it will be something with chocolate. And chocolate with chocolate infused with little chips of chocolate that have chocolate dripping out of it. Kind of chocolate. You know what I'm saying? And every time, we tend to go back to the thing that we already like. Why? Because it's good. We know we like it. I know I like mint chocolate chip ice cream. He knows that he likes chocolate chunk chicken, chocolate cheese, whatever it is. And so he knows that he likes those things. And I think when we read the Bible, here's what we do. We go to the things that we like. I like Philippians. It's good. It's a good book. There's nothing wrong with Philippians. Just like there is nothing wrong with mint chocolate ice cream unless you're fasting. Then there's a lot wrong. And so there is nothing wrong with the book of Philippians, but my tendency is will be to get stuck in that Philippians, which is a good book, but it's not the entirety of the gospel. If you want to pick something in the middle, I'm always going to pick the book of Psalms. I love the book of Psalms. If you pick a book towards the beginnings, I love the beginnings. I love Genesis, but Leviticus, I get stuck a little bit. And here's the thing. We only know a picture of God if we sit in one book rather than knowing exactly who he is from Genesis until Revelation. There was a young person who came up to me a couple of months ago, and she said, Tara, she said, I never started reading the Bible until I came to your church. She has walked with the Lord for years and years. I was stunned. I was like, you've never? She's like, no, I just went to service, went, I did all the small groups. I've never read the Word of God. She said, so in the past 2 years, she said, I've read Psalms over and over and over again. I think that's a good place to start, but I also want to say and encourage you this morning to read the whole Bible, to understand the God of Genesis, and to understand the God of Revelation. We have to read the whole, what we might use a word is called meta-narrative. It's who God is, and everything is centered on him. And so this year, we are saying to read the whole Bible. Now for me, as I read the whole Bible, and I've done this for a couple of years now. I've read through the whole Bible several years in a row. I was like you. I would pick, or I'm not, I don't even know if this is you, but I would pick, and I would have Bible, and I would read Old Testament, I would read New Testament. But when COVID struck, I said, Lord, I need a mind that is fixed on you. I need to be firm on you. I need the law and the meditations of my heart not to be fixed on what this world is saying. I need to be fixed on you. And I got into the Word of God. And I read the Word of God. So for me, as you read the whole Bible, and we're encouraging you this morning, this is a pep talk, if you would, to read the entire Word of God, then to set a time. To set a time. So everybody say time. Time. I, by nature, am like staying up at night. I do, until I had kids, and then that little change and shift for me just a little bit. I know some of us are mothers and it gets complicated, or some of us work very early in the morning, or you work very late at night, or you have a schedule that shifts. But I want to say there is a goodness about getting up, if you can, early in the morning. The Bible says, early in the morning will I seek him. Early in the morning. Why? Because as you read the word of God in the morning and you meditate on it throughout the day. And if you read the word of God at night and there's no problem with that, but you go to sleep. Or you go back to media or your game or whatever it is that you do. And so what happens is it doesn't allow our minds to meditate on the word of God, which means to think about the word of God over and over throughout the day. And how does that apply to my life? So for us, I would say pick a time, pick a schedule that works for you and stick to it. Like, this is my time. If you have an appointment this week for a banker and they were going to give you $1,000, wouldn't you show up? I would show up. If my banker said, I'm getting ready to bless your savings account with $1,000, I'm scheduling my appointment. I am scheduling my life around that appointment so that I can get $1,000 in my banking account. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says, I want you to know me. He says, I want to spend time with you. That is bigger than an appointment with a banker that can only give you $1,000. So this morning, say, I'm going to dedicate this amount of time. You know that if you're reading the Bible plan with us, they said it will only take you 12 minutes a day. You could add worship into that. You could add a time of prayer into that. But 12 minutes of just hearing. If you're a hearer, if you like listening and that's how you learn, get the Bible app and let it read it to you. If you like visual, pull it out. If you like hearing, right before this, there's like a little devotional time, about 5 minutes. She explains all the hard things, like all the hard things that we don't even know what's going on or why is going on. She explains it. So I've been listening to it and saying, okay, I didn't know that. Or that's an interesting idea, an interesting thought. If you don't like listening, you can go and grab this book, The Bible Recap. And so this is what we're doing for the year. It's called The Bible Recap. And so you can grab this book. And every day, as you read your passages from the Word of God, right underneath that, she writes 2 pages. That's not even hard to say. There's 2 pages, and she just explains what you have just read. So we're going to spend time in the Word of God. Here's another thing that I think is important as we read the Word of God. Location. Somebody say location. For me, at this point, it's changed. There have been times where I have a little chair in my little nook in my room, and that has been a safe place for me. Right now, my location is walking our neighborhood and just praying and spending time with the Lord. I have teenagers, and so for me, I get out of my house so that I can spend time. Well, I love them, but I need to spend time with the Lord. Some place, maybe that's right before you pull up at work and you're in your car and you listen to the Bible for 12 minutes. Or maybe that's just right before the game or right before school starts or on the bus, young people, and you have like a time and you're riding in the bus and everybody else is acting a fool because I know what happens on the bus. And so you put your plugs in and you say, I'm listening to the word of God, because blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, and whatever he does will prosper. And so you start getting yourself a time. You get yourself a location. You encourage yourself. I'm reading through the entire Bible. I'm going to pick a little bit of mint and I'm going to pick a little bit of chocolate chip, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Then there is a process. Say process with me. Process, which is like a mindset. Here's some questions that you can ask yourself. It's in your notes, but if you're taking notes this morning, what is the context? What is the book? What is the overall meaning of the whole scripture? Who wrote the book? Important. Like, who is the author? The Bible was written from about 1,500 years by different authors, kings and priests and prophets. There was people that followed Jesus. Is this in the New Testament? Is this in the Old Testament? What does this mean in the context of the books that are around it? What does it mean in the couple of chapters? What comes before it? What goes behind it? You can't just say, oh, I'm going to pick out one verse and that's what that verse means. We don't do that, right? That's like watching a movie, going right to the middle, taking out 1 minute of the movie and saying, well, that's how I'm going to live, or that's the movie. That's not the movie. The movie is from the beginning to the end. That's how the author intended. That's how God intended it, for us to read within context. Number two question, who wrote the book? Number three, why did they write it? But what kind of writing is it? There's law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the law of God. Even Jesus says those first five books are the law of God. Those are the things that were Jesus read. In fact, as a Jewish boy, he would have memorized most of those first five books. He would have known them. He would have meditated on them. He would have been like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. That's Jesus. So how much more should we know the word of God? So why? Why did they write it? So you're looking at who wrote the book. Was it David? Was it Paul? Why did they write it? There's a context. So there's a context of maybe they're writing to a church. At some points, they're writing to a pastor of the church or a disciple. Sometimes they're writing to the church in general. Sometimes we're writing the law. Sometimes we're writing poetry. There's poetry books in the Bible that were written in Hebrew, like Job, which we're in this morning, like Proverbs, like Psalms, like Song of Solomon, like Ecclesiastes. They're poetic in nature. God, what kind of book is this? God, what did God say in that particular chapter? What did God do in the stuff that I'm reading? Why did God do it? Does he always act that way? Is this in a particular case, like there's a time where the sun stands still? Can I go outside and pray that the sun will stand still? Or is that only happen in that particular instance? We've got to know these things. What did I learn about God? What is this saying about God? All of Scripture is so that I know God better, so that I can sit underneath the Word of God and say, God, I want to know you. We need to love the Word of God. The Bible is meant for you to know God. Now, here's three rules, and then we'll practical application. Three rules. These are called hermeneutics. And you're like, that's a big word, so I just said it. It's called hermeneutics. How do we study the Bible? I think these are important because sometimes there are going to be passages in the Bible that are confusing. There are passages that don't make sense within the context of the whole Bible. And I think sometimes we just need to understand how to better read the Bible. Number one, everybody say number one, Scripture interprets Scripture. So if you're confused and you're in a point where you don't understand what's going on in the context of that word, use other Scripture. And a lot of Bibles, you'll see that right in the middle where you can say, oh, this is, it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You see something like that in Mark chapter whatever. And so you can sort of move around and see what God is saying because Scripture interprets Scripture. Number two, everybody say number two, interpret an unclear passage in the light of clear passages. So whenever you don't have something that doesn't quite make sense, go and say, okay, well, what does God say in Ecclesiastes? And what is God doing in the book of Job? And how does that make sense within context? And then number three, read it as it was meant to be read. Most of the Bible was written as letters. In fact, they didn't even put chapters and verses until much later so that we could find it on how to do it. But the book of Philippians was a letter. Isaiah was a bunch of scrolls. The Psalms were different pieces of poetry. In fact, not even David wrote all the Psalms. There's Asaph and those different people, Moses. There's different poetry that they collected over years and put them together in your Psalms. And so this morning, learn how to read the Word of God. Now, I need you to turn really quickly to the book of Job, chapter 9. Everybody in the room, if you don't have a Bible, we're going to do this together. So I'm coming out of the crowd. I'm coming to get answers and questions. Give me about 10 more minutes. It says this, to know and love the Word of God. This morning, if you opened up your Bible app, we are in Job 6 through 9. We're going to be looking at chapter 9 because Job is a crazy book. It's super fun, and I am learning so much as I've been intentional this year. God, what do you have to say to me? What are you saying about yourself? God, what is God doing in the book of Job? So we need to know this. Everybody at Job chapter 9, shout amen, hallelujah, you're there. Sort of in the middle of the Bible. One of the poetry books. Now, you might be asking the question, why are we already in Job? I started in Genesis and now I'm Job. We're reading the Bible chronologically this year. That means in the order of things that happened. So, most scholars think that the book of Job happened roughly around Genesis chapter 9. There's a book. This man is Job. Everybody say Job. It's not a job. It's a Job. It's a man. And he lived in the city of Uz. And Job is not an Israelite. These are just things to know. The author is anonymous. They have no real clear picture of when it takes place. So most people, again, what I said, where they put it in. The author clearly wants us to know how to understand suffering. We don't understand suffering well, so there's a book called Job that helps us. Now, this book is poetry, like I said, and this is a book between Job and a conversation that he has between four friends. It has an opening, it has a beginning, it has an ending. And then God, at the end of this whole story, gives a series of like poetic speeches that put Job back in his place and says, where were you when everything happened? Job, sit down and worship me. Now, the prologue introduces us to Job, who is blameless. Somebody say blameless. Now, I'm not blameless, but in this Bible, and the Word of God says, so I have to believe that that is true, Job was blameless, not perfect, that's Jesus, but he was a type of Jesus, so he was blameless. And we are transported in the chapter 1, I just want to get you to chapter 9, we are transported to heaven, and almost there's a court scene that takes place between Satan. Now, Hebrew word for Satan is Satan. And that means the accuser. So Job, who is blameless and righteous, goes before the accuser, and he asks God to test Job, and the Lord allows it. Let me say that again. The accuser goes before God to test Job, and God says, sure. That blows my mind. So some things that we go through, not all things. Some things we've sinned and we've messed up and we are suffering the consequence. But there are some things that we go through that have been sifted through the hands of God, and God allows it. In Job's life, we see this to be true. I believe in healing, but I also know that not everyone has been healed that I've prayed for. I believe that there is a giftings. I believe praying for your family members, but I also know that not every family member that we've prayed for, and they're not yet, but not every family that I have prayed for has accepted the greatest gift of salvation. I know that. Those are hard things. And so God, in his sovereignty, allows Job to be tested by Satan, the accuser. Now that means, the good news is that God has full authority. If somebody's asking you permission to do something, it means God's in control. So God is in control of your life. He also allows suffering to take place, and it is sifted through his hands. I remember hearing Priscilla Shirer speak, and she said when her mother, who had diagnosed with cancer, and they knew it was the end, and the Lord in his sovereignty had not healed her mother, even though she was a woman of God, she said, I knew that God had sifted that through his hands, and I had to say, okay, Lord. I had to allow that to happen. Now, in this book, Job never explains the reasoning for the suffering. He was blameless. He had nothing wrong with him. He walked righteously with God, but good people do suffer. That's hard. That's a hard concept, but it happened. And in the process, Job goes through a couple of things. He goes through natural disasters. There were some good people in this room that suffered because of Hurricane Ida. You know what I'm saying? Like, they weren't living corruptly. They were living in a broken world. Hurricane Ida came and destroyed houses right here. And I don't understand that. But the Lord allowed that natural disaster. There were also disasters created by man, war. There are people that are believers in Ukraine. There are people that are believers in all these different nations across the globe that are in war. And they love Jesus and they still suffer because of what is happening in their war. War-torn countries, and then there is sickness. Job has boils. God allowed those boils to sift through his hand, and sometimes we have a sickness, and God allows it. Not that he can't heal it. I believe like the Hebrew brothers, God said he can heal, he will heal, and even if he doesn't, I'm still going to worship the Lord. So there's this processing that comes, and then Job says, I'm blameless, and his three friends come. And now his three friends are coming, and they're not Israelites, and they represent the best of ancient thinking, and God is saying to Job, I'm allowing you to suffer. And then Job speaks to his friends, and then he talks to God, and then he talks to another friend. He talks to God, he talks to another friend. And at first, for 7 days, in the middle of Job's grief, his friends are quiet. I think that's good. When someone's grieving, shut your mouth. Allow them to grieve. Be right there with them. But then his friends start open their mouth. They open their mouth. Job says, I'm blameless. And here we pick up in Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9 is where we're reading for today. This is what you would have read. It says this, then, and I have 4 points, a whole lot of points today. But how we're going to read this, we're going to read the scripture. It's called SOAP. You read the scripture. You observe what you read. That's the O. Then you have an application. How do I apply what I just heard to my life when I walk out the door? And then you pray over it. And that's what we're going to do to close out this service. Look at Job chapter 9 in verse 1. Then Job answered and said, truly I know that it is so. But how can a man be in the right before God? If one wished to contend with him, one could not answer him once in 1,000 times. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him and succeeded. He who removes mountains and they know it not, when he overturns them in his anger, who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble, who commands the sun and it does not rise, who seals up the stars, who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea, who made the Bear and the Orion, those are constellations, the Pleiades and the chambers of the south, who does great things beyond searching out and marvelous things beyond number? Behold, he passes by me. And at this point in Job's life, he says this, and I see him not. He moves on, but I do not perceive him. Behold, he snatches away. Who can turn him back? Who will say to him, God, what are you doing? So we've read the scripture. We've read the context. We observed. Now, what did you observe? I need 3 people who will bravely, in these last couple of minutes, say, with all the context and knowing the story of Job, here's what I got out of that. So would you raise your hand just real bravely? I need somebody just bravely to say, that's hard. This is a hard one. But I felt like we should do it because we're supposed to be reading the book of Job, and there it is. Somebody. All right. Got you in the back. Ralph, I'm coming. I mean, you have to meet me in the middle. Okay, here we go.
I didn't get that far yet, but from what I know about Job, is he put his faith in God, but he also questioned God. So when it comes down to it, we just got to give it to God, and we can't question God. Well, we can, but, you know, it's okay. It'll just give it to God. Yeah.
Awesome. Now, you notice what he did was he took the scripture and then he observed all the things that happened, and now he has an application. There are times where things are hard and we throw out our questions. And Job was okay in throwing out his questions, and then we apply that to our life. Somebody else. Now, here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. He can and usually does speak something different, applying to where you're at in your life and what you're going through. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of the Word of God. It's living and it's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. So right now you say, well, I got something a little different. What you got? Somebody, raise your hand. Okay, got you. Front, I'm coming to you.
I think Job, in the middle of his all the stuff that he was going through, he recognized the power of God. He recognized who it is, who is him. But it's nobody like him, so he recognizing that. So even though whenever he's suffering, he recognized God's power, and I think that's the thing that we have to do, recognize him for who he is.
Somebody else on this side of the room. I want one more person. Somebody, I got you. Okay, yeah, I'm coming to you.
Okay, so I know that fear allowed the enemy to be in this situation, but whenever we were reading, it says, I know that God is here. I see the things that he does. I see the beautiful creations as the constellations in the south. But when he passes me, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive him. So if he snatches away, who can stop him? It goes on to say. But even though we know he is here, sometimes it's hard to see what he is doing in our lives. It's hard to see when we are going through these struggles, where is he? And that's where our faith lies. Our faith lies in what we see that he has done and what he is doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. That was good. So you see, as we see the scripture, then we observe the scripture, and then you say, Lord, what are you saying about yourself? What are you saying about the things going on? How do I apply that when you walk out that door? You might be in a time or a season of suffering in this moment, and you can see as you read through Job and all the things, God, I apply that. I look at who you are. God, in this moment, it's hard. Like, I can't even, there are times, right, and seasons in our life where things have been happening to us, and it's overwhelming, and we know who God is, but it's like, God, I can't see you moving. I don't understand. And that's what Job says. And that's all right. I see that in the scripture where it's not to stay there, but to be in a season of that. And then you end it out with prayer. And there you are, reading through the Bible in 365 days. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? I pray for us, before I pray a prayer to Jesus, that we would love the Word of God. I know this might be so different for you guys. And you say, is that necessary? There's even a kids one of these. I know one of the kids in the church, she picked up one, her mom did, and reading through a kids recap. But if you want to know who the Lord is, and I think that's like our heart, right? Like, God, I want to know you. I don't want you just to bless me, though I know that blessed is the man who walks not. I know those things to be true, but God, also in the hard seasons or in the seasons that you have, I know the Word of God. It's trustworthy. News media and all this stuff that's happening in our world today is a people that have taken out the Word of God from their lives. And we live in a time where the Word of God is the most accessible that it's ever been. There are other countries where they're smuggling in Bibles so that someone could take a sheet and memorize maybe a chapter out of Philippians and read that chapter and memorize it so that they could have the Word of God. And you have it like on your coffee table and on your phone. And the Lord says, I have an appointment to meet with you every single day. What a privilege. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The one who created you, who made you, who formed you, who shaped you, says, let's get together. And he wants to reveal himself to you in 2025. I don't know what's going to happen in the world. Who even knows what happened while we've been spending an hour and a half together? I have no clue. But I know the God of heaven says, if you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with your whole heart. Can this be a year in 2025 of searching after God with our whole heart, through fasting, through prayer, every day this week for the next 21 days, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the sanctuary will be open. We will be playing music, worship music. from 9 until 3. We have after-school programming, so it gets crazy. But if you are off of work, if you are free, just come and walk in here and say, Lord, I'm just separating myself, and I'm just asking, Lord, to reveal yourself to me. That's open for the next 3 weeks. We will 9 until 3 every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Join us in fasting. Can I just throw this out there from social media, some type of social media, and from some type of food? Let's get serious about God. I want you to reveal yourself. God, I want you to the blessings of God over my life, and then also commit to reading the word together. If you like us on our media, like if you can join Hope Community, I'll be posting some notes. If you want to be a part of asking different friends and voices, just come talk to me after church. I can include you on that. Lord, we love you. God, we dedicate this year in 2025 to knowing you. God, reveal yourself to us through the word of God. God, I know that your word is a lamp. It's a light into our feet and into our path. Oh, God, that we would love your word. God, I pray for understanding as we walk out of this room, that you will reveal yourself. And God, just those that have said, I've tried this, Lord. I just pray, Holy Spirit, for understanding, that you would speak wisdom and guidance into them as they lean in. God, as they commit through even the hard times, the hard things of the scriptures, Lord. God, I pray that they would fall, that we would fall in love with you more this year. God, help us to know you. Reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Of course, see you this Wednesday for our midweek services, Bible studies, all that are back open. And make sure you grab one of those. These are free to you. And also our visitors, go ahead and get a free gift. But these are free to you. So grab one of these at the front desk. We have tons to give away. Grab one of these and have a good 2025 in Jesus' name.